Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do those people say stuff like that?
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Did I ever tell you I was born in Wisconsin? This is Wretched Radio. What? Oh, the dairy state.
Todd.
Love, love, love.
Todd,
my home.
Todd,
what, Jimmy?
Todd, I thought you were born in Minnesota.
No. Oh, no. 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 Was not born. I deny it. I reject the claim that I was actually born in St. Paul, Minnesota. What in the world has happened to Minnesota? Was reading an article. Oh, sorry, dude. I wish I could cite your name. I didn't bring it into the studio. Apparently, he grew up in the Twin Cities, and he tried to figure out what in the world happened to Minnesota. Historically, it has never leaned like strong right. It's always been kind of middle. There were some governors who were Republican. They were rhino-like, but nevertheless, I remember Arnie Carlson, Tim Pawlenty. I wonder what Tim is doing. Tim Pawlenty was more of a moderate fellow. Nevertheless, a Republican governor could be nominated in the state of Minnesota. No mas. They have gone wildly left. And this fellow, again, sir, he can't give me credit, sir. He was musing that there are a number of reasons for it, starting with Lutheran sensibilities. The Lutheran Church has had a massive effect, not just in Minnesota, but my understanding is the entire Midwest. Their Lutheran Brotherhood, they're these agencies that are supposed to be humanitarian-like, but have been very involved with the government in receiving funds to bring people overseas and support them in the Midwest. And Minneapolis, St. Paul has definitely been the epicenter for that. Furthermore, Lutheranism has a sense of goodness to it. We don't want people to suffer, says the Lutheran. We want to take care of people. Well, that can be taken advantage of, can it? That can be manipulated, can't it? And if nothing else with Governor Tim Walz, manipulation, ooh, you got to give him an A+ in that regard. How he can take what has been going on and make us feel guilty about it is absolutely staggering. There was another observation that this fellow made, and that is when you've got a lot of people talking about diversity, and you look around and basically all you see are white Scandinavians, it can cause you to feel guilty. So the idea of bringing in people from foreign countries whose skin color doesn't match, very appealing. And those are some of the ingredients that have gone into the stew that is currently Minnesota, which is experiencing what Peter wrote about in his first epistle to Turkey. It was Asia Minor. We know it as modern-day Turkey. Peter was writing most likely from Rome in the early 60s, probably prior to the persecution of Nero. And even if it were just slightly before or after, he was certainly aware of persecution. Why? Well, he himself had been in prison, so he knew about persecution. He knew about the Apostle Paul. He knew the persecution of the other apostles being martyred. Peter was well familiar with it, and he was seeing the antagonism being exhibited toward Christians, no doubt in the 40s and 50s. Why? Christianity originally received protection by being a part of Judaism, which it wasn't always this way under the Roman Empire, but Judaism had become a part of a protected class of religions. It was acceptable. You can be Jewish in the Roman Empire. Christianity was associated with Judaism and therefore received that same sort of protection. However, things changed as people became increasingly familiar with Christianity. They thought us a very peculiar and strange people. They thought we were weird. Are they incestuous? They call each other brother and sister. What's up with that? They're eating bodies and drinking blood. So so they thought, from the Lord's table. Our attitude about not being willing to affirm that Caesar is divine, this made Christianity a sect that was then separated from Judaism and was not receiving the same sort of protections. And so we read, Paul gives a laundry list of the persecution that he received for being a Christian. We read the book of Acts and we see it starting with Peter, or Stephen rather, in Acts chapter 6. Persecution was a part of the first century. Now, it is likely that 1 Peter probably written like 62, 63. Peter got there somewhere maybe between 60 and 62, 63-ish. He wrote to these Christians in Turkey. Don't know why for sure. It could have been a request from them. It is possible, not likely, but it's possible that Peter had ministered there. I think it was Eusebius, perhaps as late as the 4th century, maybe late 3rd century. He thought that Peter had been to Asia Minor. Nevertheless, it could have been the Christians that were underneath Peter's care in Rome who said, we got brothers and sisters. They're getting really nervous about persecution. Maybe Peter just observed it and he realized, I better send word out to these churches so that they can be prepared for persecution. Nero's persecution then hit in 64, which means while Peter was probably not addressing Christians suffering under state-sanctioned persecution, it doesn't mean they weren't suffering. He uses the word suffer 8 different words 15 times in the 5 chapters of 1 Peter. In other words, he's addressing the panoply of sufferings that the early Christians were experiencing, because it was hard to be a Christian, which makes me want to do a shout out to all the people who say, I just want to go back and be a part of the first century church. Are you sure? It was pretty dangerous to be a Christian in the first century. Peter writes to them to shore them up, to give them comfort, to give them encouragement. And he does it in a most peculiar way. He preaches the gospel to them over and over and over again. Why? Preaching through this at Alpharetta Bible Church right now. You can go to the ABC website and you can find these sermons. He's laying the foundation. Your suffering must be grounded in your salvation. If you're going to suffer well, then you need to remember how great a salvation. You need to remember what an amazing inheritance you have. You need to remember that you are chosen, that you are a sojourner. It's interesting. It's 1 Peter 1, 2. The modern translations don't do us a favor because it says the scattered ones that are the sojourners in all of these different regions who are chosen. That's actually an adjective. You're a chosen stranger. You weren't a stranger when you weren't saved. You loved this world. So did I. It was our home. God saves us, and suddenly we're a stranger. Why? Why? Because we're peculiar. We're a royal priesthood. We're different, and we are here to proclaim His excellencies. And that's the whole point of our being left behind, if you will. And I don't mean that in a Jenkins LaHaye.
That's right.
The two, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I used the word chosen earlier. Wow, there's almost a familial theme going on here. The Christians were being encouraged by Peter to be sanctified so that when people persecute you, they're going to ask about the reason for the hope that lies within you, because you're here to proclaim His excellencies, and you must have a foundation in the gospel. You must need to remember its excellencies. Otherwise, it's going to be really hard to suffer well. It's going to be really hard to submit, a major theme in 1 Peter. It's going to be really hard to be sanctified. You must remember how great a salvation was purchased for you by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for you to endure. You say, Friel, I've kind of lost track here. What does it have to do with Minnesota? Did you see the news about the church? It was reported to be a Minneapolis church. It is decidedly a St. Paul church. It's located on Summit Avenue in St. Paul, Minnesota. I wish I could say I remember the place. I do. I remember the outside of it. I was on the inside of it once to be sprinkled with water when I was a baby. That's right. It was an Episcopalian church. Lovely building. Just gorgeous building. Now, who was right? Oh, Andrew Walker, our fellow Andrew Walker. He said it was a Southern Baptist church. He could be right. I thought that it was it came out of Bethlehem Baptist, John Piper's old church. Regardless, it is most certainly a small old Orthodox church. They were doing their Sunday service when, I don't know what they would call themselves, protesters with a scoop of Don Lemon on top interrupted the service, chanting, being, I think, quite aggressive, disruptive, intimidating. The goal, we need to make people feel uncomfortable. We need to disrupt church. They literally walked into the church while service was going on to scold these people for not being out trying to defend their Somalian and their Hispanic brothers and sisters. Maybe, just maybe, maybe 1 Peter now has become more prescient than ever. We will go to my former hometown to hear that disruption and to start preparing ourselves should that happen in your town. Next on Wretched Radio.
So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's Word. Gentle Man, exclusively on Fortis Plus.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Yeah, your actual television. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year, and you still can't program. So instead of arguing over another reality show, you're watching Road Trip to Truth together on the couch. Your teenager might actually look up from their phone, and your spouse might find something you both enjoy. Miracles do happen. Every video, every biblical resource you trust right there on the big screen for free. Why free? Well, because gospel partners believe truth should flow into every home. No subscription, no credit card, no guilt. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on.
Know your reformers. Jan Hus, a Czech priest, was inspired by the writings of John Wycliffe to preach against papal excess and false doctrines such as transubstantiation. Even as he was burned at the stake by the Catholic Church, he continued to preach the gospel and sing the Psalms.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go to Minnesota, shall we? This is Wretched Radio. Let me take you to the church in which I was sprinkled with water. Note, I did not call it being baptized as an infant because you must have faith before you can actually be baptized. So I was sprinkled with water. It was called St. Paul's Church on the Hill. On lovely Summit Avenue, think Victorian homes, think mansions. Right down the block is the governor's mansion, this massive red stone. Well, it's a mansion. It's a glorious, it's St. Paul's finest street. Sounds like it, doesn't it? Summit Avenue. Well, now it's called City's Church. The Episcopalians must have dumped it because, like a lot of Protestant churches, they're going out of business. In fact, I just read the shrinkage of Protestant churches in America. Ooh, doggy, they're disappearing. What's taking their place? Sound Bible teaching churches like City's Church, which was the site of, what do you call this? A disruption? An invasion? They were in church Sunday morning, and a crew came in, and you're going to hear them if you haven't seen this already, led by one Don Lemon.
Renee Good.
Okay, I want you to envision this glorious classic old church, which is now being occupied by an Orthodox church. Think Episcopalian, think the arches, dark wood, all of the craftsmanship that goes into it. I'm seeing some stained glass windows in the background. They're doing church. And these people come in to do nothing but cause havoc. I got a question for you. Mrs. Friel posed this last night. She said, what would you have done? It's like, wow, we have to think about it. Yes. Yes, we do. We need to be prepared for these types of things to happen to us. Now, I grant you, this is not what we are seeing our brothers and sisters in places like Nigeria experience, North Korea, China. Nevertheless, this is kind of like, it's getting warmer, isn't it? You're the pastor. You're up in front. You're in the congregation. I'm looking at the congregation right now. And these people, they're marching through the aisles and they're chanting. What would you have done if you haven't considered it? You might want to. It's funny. I'm pretty sure there used to be pews in this church. I'm sorry, I'm not remembering something from infancy. I think there used to be pews in this church. It's still this glorious structure, and they are simply shutting down a worship service.
Where are you? Where are your people? This is the house of— Why are you not at Whipple every day fighting for the humanity, standing for our people?
I know this is agitating to listen to. The poor pastor, I think his name is Jonathan Purcell. He's trying to get them to leave. Pastor, you might want to think about your reaction. What would you have done? What would you have done if Don Lemon had stuck a microphone in your face? Nevertheless, listen to the tone of these loving liberals.
Where are you? You drink your coffee, you got your jewelry, you have your nice clothes, but what do you do? What do you do to stand for your Somali and Latino communities?
I'm not gonna comment.
You have no comment, exactly. You—
I think there's options. I think their option that they exercised was perfectly valid. They just sat there and let it happen. They weren't wrecking the place. That would probably be the next step. But they just sat there and let it happen. And everybody that I'm looking at in this video, you can go find it on the YouTube machine, is being quite calm. The pastor saying, you need to leave. This is a worship service. You need to leave. What would you do? Now, maybe the better question is, what will you do? Oh, did they turn on the music? That's another play, by the way. Just turn up the music and drive them out. They probably aren't going to be thrilled to be in a church where they're playing something like Amazing Grace. Question. What does this tell us about this movement? What is this that these people interrupted a church service? They didn't call the pastor in advance to set up a meeting to discuss it. Apparently, one of the elders there shares the same name as somebody who works at ICE in St. Paul, Minnesota. So they went into this church and just flipped it upside down. This is just anarchy is what this is. What do we learn about this group of people? Well, believe it or not, I think Don Lemon might be instructive. That's right. Don Lemon might be instructive. Whether you're a pastor or not, ask yourself the question, if Don Lemon, who was a part of this insanity, disrupted your church service and then wanted to interview you, think about how you might answer these questions. Jonathan Parcell, the pastor of City's Church, he decided, hey, this is where we worship Jesus. That was going to be his message. He wanted to talk about Jesus, taking the opportunity to say, we are Christians, we're here to worship Jesus. I think you might do well to try to sort through, how might I answer these questions? And in doing so, what does it reveal? If Don Lemon is a part of this group, what does it reveal about the, well, I'm going to put it this way to be as polite as possible, the intellectual heft of this movement?
This is unacceptable. It's shameful.
That's the pastor.
It's shameful to interrupt a public gathering of Christians in worship. So,
but there were folks who said,
I have to take care of my flock.
Okay,
my
listen, we live in a, there's a constitution in the First Amendment to freedom of speech and freedom to assemble and protest.
Yes. And you are violating each one of our rights by interrupting our public gathering, our freedom of speech and freedom of religion. You don't go into somebody else's, but they own that building. It's called private property, Don. Yes, you do have a constitutional right to do those things out there, not inside. What you're doing, sir, is anarchy. What does this tell us about Don Lemon's thinking, his understanding of the Constitution, and then, of course, his understanding or lack thereof of the Bible?
We're here to worship. We're here to worship Jesus because that's the hope of these cities. That's the hope of the world is Jesus Christ.
I want to be very respectful. Please don't push me, though.
We're here.
It wasn't the pastor. Somebody must have bumped into him. It didn't look like anything.
We're here to worship Jesus.
Yes.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why we're here. That's what we're about.
Don't you think Jesus would be understanding it?
We're about.
Don, when was the last time you read your Bible?
And love these folks.
We're about spreading the love of Jesus.
But did you try to talk to them as a...
Did you try to talk to them? Can you hear them screaming in the background? They didn't enter the church to talk to them. They could have called the church, sent an email. Hi, we'd like to meet with the pastor to have a conversation. This is not that yet. This is so classic. Turn it around and shame the one that is being victimized.
No one is willing to talk.
Okay.
I have to take care of my church and my family, so I asked if you actually would also leave this building.
Good for you.
Unless you're here to worship.
I'm always worship. I'm a Christian.
We're here to...
That was Don Lemon. I always worship. I'm a Christian. What verses would you recommend Don read? I can think of a couple.
Worship. We're here to worship. Okay.
Thank you very much.
That is absolutely kooky. That's just downright kooky. That is so aconstitutional. It's such wonky thinking. And yet they are inside shaming the Christians for not behaving in a way that they think Christians should behave. First Peter, written almost 2,000 years ago. The climate in which 1 Peter was written is frighteningly similar to the one that you and I live in. We're not going to start cowering. We're not going to be stupid, but we're not going to just shrivel up and go away. We're going to continue to assemble. might want to think about having a security team. We are going to continue to preach the gospel. We will proclaim that Jesus is the only way. We will still have biblical understanding. You would love to ask these people, you know, you're here to protest an immigration. Tell me, from your study of the Old Testament, what have you concluded about sojourners, aliens? Do you even know the Hebrew words? Do you know that there were two different types of people who would pass through the land of Israel? They don't study this, and they certainly don't study the Constitution. You and I need to be prepared. And here's what Peter tells you to do. Read 1 Peter. It's a pretty quick read. He tells you, be grounded in your salvation. Be prepared, therefore, to suffer well, knowing you have an inheritance. Submit. Be a holy people so that, here's number 5, you may proclaim his excellencies. It looks like 1 Peter has never been more poignant than today. This is Wretched Radio.